This is Rocky Mountain Pro referee Skylar Barrier, and you're listening to the RMP Radio, where pro wrestling is elevated.
RMP Radio is back on the air. Hi, I am Artie Boucher here for the purpose of this recording, and I've got from Bierstadt Lagerhaus here in Denver, Colorado, I've got Chuck Harris. Chuck, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. So excited. As the time is recording, we're about 24 hours away from the next event for Rocky Mountain Pro there at Bierstadt Lagerhaus. But before we get into that, how did Bierstadt Lagerhaus get started? When did it open, and what was the thought about opening that?
So we've been open for about 6.5 years. I've been here the whole time. I'm the only one who's been here the whole time. I'm the GM now. When I started here, I was a server. But Chris, who used to run Rack House, which we were called Rack House here for a little bit too.
Right.
And then we just dissolved the name and just go by Bierstadt now. But it was always Bierstadt and Rackhouse together.
Yeah.
But Chris owned Rackhouse when it used to be in Stranahan's Distillery off of Santa Fe. And then got, like, moved out of there. And so there was, like, a little time where he didn't have any place because they were working on getting. So he had met Bill and Ashley. So Ashley Carter, Bill I, and he had met them at that Rack House. I think they used to go to Stranahan's a lot, and so they just kind of became pals. And they were brewers, and they make really, really good beers, specializing in German lagers. And so they talked about opening this place, and originally it was, it's a huge space, big building. So it was going to be the Rack House upstairs, beer shop making beer up there and downstairs, and then C Squared, which was a cidery that was over in the corner of the building.
Mm-hmm.
They are no longer in the building. They were like roommates of ours. A lot of times people, when they think about our bar, they think about the beer hall downstairs, and they think about stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason, they still attach C Squared to it when it was always actually us. They never had a tasting room themselves.
Yeah.
We just always sold their ciders as well. Now we sell ciders from all over the state, a couple from other states too. And Deep Roots Winery moved into the spot they were in. So Deep Roots actually, they do have their own like tasting room, and they offer food. But C Squared was always just a production facility, and then with us in there. So Bill and Ashley, Bill had worked for a bunch of other breweries. So did Ashley. Ashley worked at Dry Dock and Pros. Bill worked at Pros, CB and Pods. He started out years and years ago, many, many moons ago. Won some awards back then for like World Beer Cup and things like that back at CB and Pods a long, long time ago. He also worked at Dry Dock as well. But yeah, so they used to go to Germany pretty frequently and loved just like the whole thing about it, you know, just hanging out in a beer garden, drinking big old Helles, you know, just drinking the day away, and drinking light, easy to drink lagers that you can drink, you know, for a couple of hours, not like, you know,
right,
9-10% beer, you know, it's more like 5, so very drinkable. And so they were, one of the times when they were out there, they had planned on opening this place. They went and checked out this one brewery that was going to update all their brewing equipment. And so when they were going to do that, Bill and Ashley had them dismantle this one and send it here. And then they put it back together here. So our brew house upstairs, like on the side of the tap room, the Boyle Kettle and the Louder Tender, they both are from 1932.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so they're outside of Nuremberg at a place called Ammendorfer. And I just went to Germany like a month ago, and we wanted to swing by there, but it was kind of not in the plans this trip because we were in Munich, and it's a little bit – it's pretty far outside of Munich. But Nuremberg pretty much was flattened back in World War II.
Yeah.
So the fact that the brew house wasn't scrapped to make like bullets or tanks or didn't just get like blown to bits is pretty amazing, impressive. And so it's our little piece of history. So yeah, if you look around, we just did a birthday party for it like a month and a half ago, a 90th birthday party. So it's only been with us for 6 years. Bierstadt's actually celebrating the 6 year anniversary is in August, so it's like 2 months out since we've been selling their beer, because it took a while to put all the equipment back together.
Yeah.
Also, it's like different electrical, different size pipes, like different everything, because here in America we do everything different than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So we had to like retrofit it to all that stuff and get it all working, and also it just takes a long time to make lager. So the August anniversary is the anniversary of when we first started selling all of our beers. So they had to make each batch of beer, which takes a while. When they make the pills in the house, it's a 30-hour brew day.
Yeah.
So 30 hours straight they brew, and it's just the two of them. So they can't just do another one the next day, you know. So they had to spread them out a couple of days, and then it's you know, it's a 30-hour brew day, and then it's like 2 weeks to ferment down in the fermentation room, and then it's usually about 8 weeks lagering after that. So it's usually about, I think, nine to 10 weeks on most of our beers from start to finish.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask, with that equipment, like you said, kind of being retrofitted for the use in the United States, what about the upkeep on that equipment? Is it pretty stable, or is there a lot of stuff going on
solid.
There? It's solid.
It's solid. Yeah, I think at first there was a couple of little technical issues, but then they got it going. And it's kind of funny, like in the corner down there by the Boyle Kettle, there's like this massive computer. And people are like, what is that? It's like, oh, that runs the brew house. So the brew house is from 1932. The computer that runs it is from like the 80s. So that is massive. You know what I mean? It's like, you could probably run it from like my iPhone right now. You know, I got the new iPhone 13 yesterday. I could probably run it from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, it's run by this massive computer that's probably like 6 feet tall and probably like 8 or 9 feet wide. It's pretty big, but it's funny to think that's how like all computers were back in the day, and now it would only need like an iPad at most.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, you mentioned that you're at the 6 year anniversary of the starting of the brewing. Are you guys going to do a big event? And I guess in this particular case, because of the turnaround that you said, the 9 to 10 weeks of actually being able to get stuff produced and ready. Are you guys already kind of basically prepping or in the stages of doing a special anniversary celebration of that?
Yeah, I mean, we usually do bands like every Saturday anyways.
Mm-hmm.
On Fridays, we do things like wrestling, or we have a BMX event that we do once a month as well. That was last week. It's usually the third Friday of the month, whereas wrestling's the first.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually do bands on Saturdays. And so for that event, sometimes we'll get like a couple of bands, maybe do some sort of like events, like a Stein hoisting competition or things like that. I haven't really done too much of the planning on that one yet, just because we've been pretty caught up with a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually do an anniversary of the first day they brewed the Slow Pour Pils. And the Slow Pour Pils is the beer that we're like most known for.
Uh-huh.
Wrestling nights, if you look around, almost everybody's drinking Helles because you can get it by the liter.
Yeah.
The Pils is only a 0.3, so it's a much smaller beer. So wrestling, everybody wants to drink the big beer to get rowdy, but the slow pour is kind of what we're known for. It's what made us famous, really. So what we do is you can only get the slow pour in that little one. That's why people aren't drinking it on wrestling night. But on June 12th, it's the anniversary of the first brew. We call it the Bruniversary.
Okay.
And it's the one day a year we let people get slow pour in the liter.
Oh.
And so we'll do like a little event for that. It's mostly, truthfully, it's like mostly industry professionals that come here for that one, you know, like brewers and stuff from other breweries. I always tell people that we're your dad's favorite brewery because of the beer we make, but we're your brewer's favorite brewery too. Like,
oh,
you know, some awesome. People are like, oh, I just want a juicy IPA or whatever. It's like, all right, well, the guy who makes your favorite juicy IPA, he wants to drink our beer.
Wow. That's
it's the type cool. of beer you want 14 of, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. So another thing that Bierstadt, I think, is pretty famous, or at least it's featured. You know, we talked about the drink part, but we should not neglect the food part. One of the big things that I always notice, and if I'm incorrect, but let me know, but you got the mac and cheese. The mac and cheese is always the talk of the town. How did that become like a talk of the town for Bierstadt, that and the different flavors and everything?
Yeah, so the different flavors is kind of a newer concept that Chris just started, like maybe like a year and a half, 2 years ago, really.
Okay.
Before that, it was just a straight up, and we would have like different toppings on it, but it wasn't like sauces mixed in like it is now.
Yeah.
Which I love that buffalo mac because our mac and cheese is a 6-cheese mac and cheese that has gorgonzola in it. So that gorgonzola is, you know, it's a blue cheese. It goes really well with the buffalo. So I usually do the buffalo mac with the veal sausage on it. So good.
Oh.
But yeah, so the mac and cheese though is from what, like I was talking about before, where Rackhouse was at Stranahan's. The mac and cheese is a Rackhouse dish. So it started there, and it was always super popular there. Like even back then, it was known as one of the top three mac and cheeses in Denver.
Yeah,
it got like a bunch of press way back then doing that. It's funny too because it's either you absolutely love it or you absolutely hate it, because it's you know, it's not, I always tell people, you know, it's not for the kids. Like people would try to order, back when we used to do sides of it, they'd be like, I'll get a side of that for the kids. They'd be like, well, your kid's probably not going to eat it, but you're going to finish it. You're going to love it, so you should order it. Because it's a 6-cheese mac and cheese. So it has cheddar, pots, parmesan, cream cheese, gorgonzola, and brie. So those last two are kind of funky and not for everybody.
Right.
But if you really like a bunch of different kinds of cheeses, then you're like, this mac and cheese is amazing. And it's got flavor. It's not just orange sauce, you know?
Right, yeah, or you know, or even you know, just a one step upgraded of the Velveeta, the actual sauce instead of having to mix the powder and the milk together and et cetera.
Making cheese in seconds. Yeah, but yeah, so it's you know, the different topics. We used to do like a seafood mac once in a while. I think hopefully the winter we'll do it again. We like to do the chili mac a lot. That was always like a hit.
Yeah.
Especially because the way they did it, they put like chili in the bottom of the pan, then some mac, then a little more chili, then some mac, and then topped it with chili. So it was like, it's not like one of those chili macs where it's just like, oh, I ate all the chili off the top. You know, right. it was like a chili mac lasagna of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
true. Good. But yeah, I mean, you can add, you know, different sauces. The other one I really like is that pesto balsamic one. That's a good one with that, with all those cheeses. It goes really well. Or Nashville hot, if I'm not being a baby that day. Sometimes the Nashville hot's a little too hot for me.
Yeah, you know, and I have not tried that balsamic. I tried the buffalo and some other various ones, but now that you mention it, I have not tried it. I've you know, tried to do something a little different each time that we're there, so... Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then we got all those pretzels too. And during COVID, our pretzel company obviously took a huge hit, you know, because everywhere was closed. We were doing takeout stuff.
Yeah.
Still, when you couldn't even dine outside at places, there was like a couple of months where it was just all you had to go home or you had to drink margaritas walking down the street.
Yeah.
But you weren't given the option of, like, sitting on a patio or anything like that for a little bit. And so during that time, they took a solid hit where, like, everywhere that they were selling pretzels to was closed, you know, except for us. And they were still making ours. And essentially, they were going to have to shut down or move or do something. They were getting, like, pushed out of their place, or they couldn't afford it anymore because business was so slow. Yeah, we actually, like, moved them into what used to be mine and Chris's office. We moved them into there, and they changed, you know, made some adjustments and changed the room up a little bit. And so they use our kitchen when we're not in it. So, like, a couple of them are still here. I think they were finishing up something. The back line, we don't use that much on a day like today. So, or they'll come on the weekends. They're, like, here in the morning. So our pretzels, we don't actually make our pretzels, us, but they do in-house. You know, the pretzels are still made in our kitchen. It's just made by a different company.
Right.
They're called Shopsies. And they're amazing. I mean, she's like off the boat from Germany, and, you know, they do some good stuff.
Oh,
We were doing this just to take out stuff, we were getting loaves of their bread too, because for a little bit it was even hard to get bread at the grocery store. So the sourdough would just crush, but they also had, like, this white chocolate chip lemon bread, and it was amazing. I was like, I like we're calling this bread because it's pretty much cake. But if we call it bread, I don't feel bad eating half a loaf of it.
that's amazing. You know, and kind of speaking of that, how did Bierstadt kind of feel like they fared through the pandemic? Because I would imagine, like you said, things were slow. And did you guys do any of that transition kind of stuff too, that a lot of the other you know, breweries did, you know, the, you know, making hand sanitizer? Or did you just kind of try to focus on doing takeout service?
Yeah, we just focused on takeout service. And then once we got the patio back, we, you know, we tried to do the best we could with keeping it still interesting, like doing events, doing live music. Like we're doing live music on the patio right now, just because there's a private function down in the beer hall. We usually do live music Thursdays downstairs on the stage there. But there's a private function down there right now. A bunch of activist women from the 70s are holding a meeting of sorts. I don't know what they're doing in there, but they're getting all riled up. But I got a couple guys playing out here. And during that time, we made the whole parking lot a patio when you could do the patio thing. And so you had to space 25 feet from performers at that time, which was tough. But we had a big enough patio where I worked it out, and I just, like, moved the tables a little, and just they had, like, the upper farthest corner in the parking lot they would play from. And so we were still doing live music when a lot of places weren't, you know, even open or definitely wasn't doing anything. So we were trying to keep stuff like that going. During that time where it was takeout only, we did, like, a lot of make and make stuff, where you'd, like, take it home and make it. It was like a mac and cheese kit.
Yeah.
Where it would have, like, the cream separate and you can make it. And I would, like, make videos of how to make it. And we had, you know, paper printed out directions, but we also would do videos.
Yeah.
So people knew, you know, what they were doing. And then, we were doing pretzels and cheese and wings. Like, we just roast them off. So what we did then was, it wasn't efficient to have, like, somebody to even cook and do that stuff, because we weren't that busy, even, you know, whatever, with that take and make make and take stuff. We just would have the cooks, like, prepare it, get it all ready, and then so they would work, like, he would work, like, 2 days a week, and then we would have food for the whole week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to needing somebody here every day.
Right.
So we had to make adjustments like that. The whole staff pretty much got laid off except for me. Me and Deanna, who was working here at the time, she's gone now, but we pretty much just worked every, you know, one of us was here every day and two of us were here on the weekends to make sure, just in case it did get a little busy. Because then we started canning. We never canned before. It was always said, Ashley always said that she would never can her beer.
Yeah.
You know, aside from crawlers, we always did growlers and, like, crawlers, but she was saying that we would never, like, can. And what the reality was is that's all we were selling. So it just made more sense. It's better product to actually have a canning line than it is to have a crowler. A crowler is only good for like a few days, where a can's good for over a month, you know?
Yeah.
So we made pivots. We did switch, you know, stuff like that. And it sucked to have to lay off the staff, but I feel like they were getting, you know, with the bonus that they were doing with the unemployment and everything, most of them were probably making as much as me, if not more, for not working at all.
Right.
So it wasn't too bad. I'm sure they enjoyed it. I don't know. I only had one day off. So when the pandemic shut everything down, I got one day off, and then it was right back to it.
Oh, jeez.
But we had to, and we made it through, and a lot of places didn't. So we're happy that we did. We're lucky that we did.
Right.
Chris worked really hard at getting us grants and loans and things like that that were offered through all the programs that the government was doing.
Yeah.
So, and it ended up working out so far.
Yeah.
You know.
Did
it stunk because things are starting to get really good right when it happened, and
yeah,
things are getting really good. Things are starting to get really good again and really busy. These Friday wrestlings have been busier than they were before COVID.
Yeah,
people were just locked up for 2 years. And they're just ready to do it now.
Yeah, and I was gonna ask, you were kind of getting to where I was gonna kind of go too. Since then, has any kind of new things or new improvements happened with Bierstadt? You obviously mentioned the Deep Roots Winery has moved in. They've got a little space in there as well. Anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah, they actually had moved in right before COVID. C Squared had already moved out. They
yeah.
moved out like that. December they moved out, and Deep Roots started moving their stuff in that November, so like 4 months before or whatever. And so
right.
it was tough for them because they didn't really get to do anything for like a year. They set up a patio last year, but they didn't. They have more people on their patio right now than I saw most of the summer last year that they had out there. So
yeah.
once they finally opened up their indoor space and got their kitchen going a lot better, it got better, because before they were just doing like cheese plates. Now they have like a little kitchen. It's in a shipping container over in the corner. You can see it. Whenever they make an order of Brussels sprouts, the whole building smells like cabbage. It's kind of weird, but also you're like, shit, I could go for some Brussels. They do like General Tso's Brussels sprouts that are really good. I also like, they have some bruschettas over there that I tend to do. Stop by for a quick shot of wine or something and run back to work. But
yeah.
Yeah, so they came in and they got that built, and they put their room in there where they have probably like 15, 20 tables. They put a couple more tables on the patio. We put a few more tables on the patio. We went from the full parking lot being a patio to cutting it in half so we had parking again, because before all the tables had to be super far apart and whatever, and
yeah.
so... we kind of needed the whole parking lot to have enough tables to have enough business to justify even being open, you know?
Right.
Whereas now they don't. The tables are 3 feet apart, because that's all they don't have to be any more than that, you know?
Yeah.
And so now it's just half the parking lot, but we still have, what do we have? I think it's 22 tables. It might be 24 tables out there now. I think we just added a couple the other week. But yeah, so we have that. Upstairs essentially stayed the same. The beer hall changed over the last couple of years a lot too. Pretty much all the same games. We're looking into maybe getting a couple of new things that are pretty weird. We like to keep things different. But yeah, I mean, we have a ton of those Oktoberfest style tables now, and so we put a bunch in the beer hall. So there's a lot more seating down there now, which is nice. Comes in handy for live bands, or we haven't done a movie night in a while, but we used to do movie nights, things like that. You know, different shows. We do a burlesque show down there. We did an erotic market right before Valentine's Day. That had like sex toys and pole dancers, and it was pretty wild. Just like a little Sunday at noon, you know, a little right after church.
Action. Yeah. Well, that's the best time to have it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, so we try to do different events like that that are interesting. Like I said, we do a BMX stunt show out here in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We have an art market coming up next Friday. So that should be good. It's supposed to be pretty big. I haven't heard too much about it yet, but I know that there's like a bunch of vendors, and I think it's going to take up our whole parking lot and the parking lot next to us, the architecture firm.
Uh-huh.
So that should be fun. And then, yeah, we're shutting down for a couple of days, next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just to have some, building maintenance done. We're below the street, so it always has to pump all of our water output, sewage or anything.
Yeah.
Has to pump it up to the street. And over the last 6 years, we've had to shut down or have it pumped every day, which is super expensive on the weekend. Have it pumped every day until you get somebody there on Monday. And so we've spent a lot of money and had to close a couple of times because of issues with that. So they're getting that, right, hopefully repaired to the point where we won't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to close the beginning of the week, give the staff a little breather. And
yeah. Before the busy hot summer, up. Right?
Yeah.
I could imagine that's difficult. So kind of little TLC to kind of maybe to help with when those things happen, because you know we just got that huge rainstorm on Tuesday night that just happened. So I could imagine that that hit you a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean stuff like that does its work on the inside the building stuff. Somebody flushing. Ladies flushing tampons down the toilets and things like that. Just gets caught up in the grinder down there. And last thing you want is sewage overflowing somewhere, you know? So, So it's always like, oh, no more dumping any water down the drain. It's like, well, if you can't, no beer can go down the drain. Nothing can go down the drain. Okay. Well, you got to close. So just not having to do that anymore will be pretty amazing.
Yeah. I would imagine. So what about the so we've talked about the events. Rocky Mountain Pro heads to Bierstadt the first Friday of every month, first Friday, kind of a thing. How did Bierstadt and Rocky Mountain Pro kind of get together and start having events?
So I know Chris knows Yaden.
Yeah.
And he knows Yaden. I don't know if he met Yaden in college, or I know that one of the guys that used to wrestle for Rocky Mountain Pro, taller, blonde, long hair guy, I forget his name, but I think he went to college with Chris.
Okay.
I think he went to college at ASU and they like played rugby together or something like that. And so he knew him from that. But yeah, I mean, we've been doing wrestling with Rocky Mountain Pro, like, I think it was less than a year in we started doing it. So it'll be, let's see, it's 6 years in August. It might be 6 years in October that we've been doing wrestling. Because we did it down in the beer hall before, like, the beer hall was even really the beer hall.
Right.
Like, before we had all the games down there and it was open to the public normally, we did wrestling down there. And Halloween was the first time we did it. We did, like, a costume contest in there. And, yeah, I mean, I think that had to be the first year, because I'm thinking of the employees that worked then. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, they didn't work here for that long. So
yeah.
I think we opened in December, right? But, like I said, the anniversary for beer size in August, because that's when we started selling our beer.
Yeah.
But we had opened in December before that. And so I think right now we're at five and a half years we've been doing wrestling. Wow. Essentially almost every month. I mean, during COVID, obviously, we didn't do it. So that was probably about 2 years where we didn't do it. But the rest of the time, it's been going strong. And, you know, there were nights, I mean, what we canceled the one Well, we're in June. All right, we just hit May. What did we cancel? April? I think we canceled.
I think it was
we
April.
We canceled one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we canceled April because we did it in March. Or we canceled. We might have canceled March. I don't remember. But I just remember that we did it, and it was like right when COVID kind of started spiking again, and people weren't that comfortable going out again. And so when we did that one in March, it was tough. There was maybe like 40 people. Yeah. 40 or 50 people, which is pretty low attendance for those events. There's usually at least 120, 150. That last one we did was like insane. So it was kind of weird how we like we didn't do it for a month, and then the last one was like insanely busy. Like we've made adjustments. We made a beer cart so I can roll out a beer cart. We can do Leaders of Hellas right outside.
Oh, cool.
because the last one was just like, it was like, holy crap, man. I was just talking to somebody about it earlier. I was like,
yeah,
people kept coming and coming and nobody was leaving. Everybody was staying because, you know, they were watching the show.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, now there's like 250 people standing outside of the building, not to mention the other 150 people inside the building.
Yeah.
And I have six employees, you know.
Yeah.
And I have two bars. That was kind of more of the concern. Everybody's like, oh, you need another person. I was like, if we had another person, they'd just be running into each other. Like, we need another spout of Hellas to pour more Hellas. So that's what we did. We built a little rolly cart bar, and I'm going to roll that out here tomorrow. We're going to hook it up, and we'll be pouring liters of beer for everybody outside, liters of Hellas.
Awesome.
Outside. That way you don't even have to go inside.
That is
or wait.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be a nice new exciting thing. People will I think be appreciative to get that done quickly and not have to because like you said, it was really busy, and that line just on the inside on the first floor was pretty big and pretty lengthy all night long.
There was a party of 50 that was inside in the beer hall inside one of the shipping containers as well.
Yeah.
And I knew they were a party of 50, but they were a party of 50 that were getting after it. they were drinking like a party of 120. You know what I mean? And so it was like between them and, the outside. And that's kind of it. It's like when we had the bar downstairs in the beer hall back when we used to do wrestling down there, when it was just a little cart, it just had two beers and two ciders, you had that bar for that area, for that room.
Yeah.
And then you had upstairs for the upstairs, right? And then so now downstairs is busier. Upstairs has more taps because it has the dual sided tap. We only have the one side down here, and so it's like one bar. If both outside and inside is busy, it's too much for that one bar to be able to handle. Mm-hmm. So the way tickets roll in, it's just like, if you're getting a ticket every minute and it has five beers on it, it's just not possible to keep up with that pace, you know?
Right.
And so, that's kind of the whole point of the leader cart.
Yeah. That should take some pressure off.
It'll alleviate a lot of it. A lot of last time at wrestling too, is like, that's all anybody was drinking was liters of Hellas too. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it, the end of the wrestling event, I was just bringing people 2 half liters of Hellas. I'm like, sorry, we don't even have any more liters. There's only so many glasses that we have.
Yeah.
When there's that many people, you know. So, that's just part of growing pains. It's also just part of the post COVID, just being able to pivot and work with it. You know, I can't really. It's tough because when we do events like that, it's hard because you can't really. I can't hire 5 more people for one day a month.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to kind of adjust, see if an old employee will come in and fill in for a day or,
right.
you know, some guest appearances and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah. Bring somebody up from the farm team.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bring me back down. I got to suit back up and hop behind the bar instead of doing the manager stuff, you know.
So true. All right, and do we have given the card a name yet? Have we given it a fancy name, or are we still working on
no,
that?
I think just beer cart, like B-I-E-R. Everything that we do is, you know, beer like that. So it's like beer hall,
right?
Is the German spelling B-I-E-R-H-A-L-L-E, and outside the beer garden. So yeah. I think it's probably just going to be beer cart.
Yeah, just a beer cart with the German spelling then.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. I think that'll work out well. That's great.
Yeah, we used to call the patio, it used to be the Slowport Trailer Park when we first set it up and we did the whole parking lot because it's all turf and had had that trailer park vibe. We hung up a bunch of pink flamingos. There's like 30 pink flamingos scattered about through the whole place. And we were just like, let's go tacky as hell. And we were doing buckets of cans of this one beer that we made with Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I made koozies for those. And they were camouflage and orange. It said beer shot SPTP, which was Slowport Trailer Park. And so it was a trailer park, but now we've changed the name to Beer Garden because we're just going more of that traditional, German,
kind
vibe.
Of get,
actually, they're going to put a permanent structure out there soon too, like where we have the tent right now. It'll be more of like a permanent, like a frame essentially, a frame with a wall and stuff like that. So hopefully, people will stop backing into the trees and stuff that we have right there, because when it's a wall it'll be less easy to deal with. But we have like the metal gates like that you guys use for wrestling and stuff like that up there. I'd say like once a weekend somebody gives one a nice little tap.
Oh yeah, well that area it's a crazy little area.
Cool. I always tell people too, it's just a bad move when you're coming to beer stuff. You know what you do is you catch a bus or something and then Uber home.
Or there's tons of the scooters in the area too. There's a lot of those birds and the lives and then they're all over the place. That's where they kind of collect and hold in that whole little area there.
Bike Street. I live 1.2 miles from here, so I scootered to work today.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
I try to ride my bike when I can, but it's got a flat right now. So.
Oh yeah, I feel you, Payne. I'm a bicyclist myself, and I know it. Even in the city, we pick up thorns everywhere, and road hazard and crap and
nails and screws and stuff everywhere, all over the place. Yeah.
That's why I actually have solid composite tires now, so I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. So.
Oh, nice.
But they're pretty penny. They're expensive.
Oh yeah, sure.
So.
Oh sure, yeah. That'd be weird to have on my bike. I bought like a $200 bike right when when I moved down here. I moved down into Denver during COVID. I used to live up in North Glen.
Yeah.
And my rent is $400 more a month down here.
Yeah.
But I spend way less money. When you manage a brewery, you tend to drink a lot of beer, and so it's a bad idea to drive to or from work most of the time. And so I would end up Ubering, and so that was 20 bucks each way, you know, if I wasn't leaving during one of the peak times, 20 bucks each way with the tip. So,
yeah,
I mean, $40, even if it's 4 days a week and I drove myself one of them, you know, you're talking, I saved $200 by moving to Denver and paying $400 more rent, you know?
Yeah. And parking and everything like that can be tight when it gets busy down in the area.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That could be tough.
Yeah. And there's so much going on.
My car hasn't even moved. My car sat there for 2 years in the parking in my driveway at my house. So I just don't even drive it.
Yeah. And there's so many other, other businesses and, living spaces and things in that whole area. It's community, that whole Rhino area of Denver there. So
yeah, especially during the day, finding parking down at this side of Rhino.
Yeah,
at like 4 o'clock is pretty much impossible.
4 o'clock and after.
Six,
yeah,
at 6 o'clock you're looking a little better, which is weird, right? But that's it. It's because there's all these little businesses here and there scattered all about.
Yeah.
So I'm sure other places are worse later on. Like up at Larimer, it's probably the opposite. After 6 o'clock, you probably can't find anything.
Yeah. And then, Beerstadt's not too far from Coors Field. So, because you do have the Coors Field parking lot that backs up behind Beerstadt. So,
yep.
So that can always be game nights.
The overflow lot, they call that.
Yeah. Yeah, so game nights can be pretty busy down there too.
Yeah, there's a few cars back there. This, you know, at this point in the season, when they're not doing too hot, they usually, it's not as many fireworks days, or they play the Cubs or something like that. It'll fill up, but
yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, it's the opening weekend. It's all the way full, but it's usually how I judge how many people are going to be around after the game. I'll look out the back window, and if it's like not even to the building, then I'll be like, oh, all right, there's not going to be that many people at this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's also where they do the staging ground for the parade, like the St. Patrick's Day parade, or when the Broncos won, when they did the victory parade, they stage it out of Coors Field, and then they come out of the parking lot like two blocks up.
Right.
And then they go back in. So it's kind of nice, like St. Patrick's Day, like you can just sit and watch them out the back door.
Oh, I never thought about doing that. But that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, well...
Yeah, Chris, so we usually open early.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I think that might be a great place to put a nice little bow on this here for the listeners. But before I... I'm sorry... not Chris, but Chuck. I was thinking of the other guy.
Okay.
Before I do let you go, let the listeners know, you know, where they can find all the info, extra events that happen on at Bierstadt throughout the month, throughout the year, like on the social media and then on the rest of the internet.
Yeah, for sure. So we do have our own website. It's just www.bierstadtlager.com. And it's pretty good. It has a lot of info on there. Sometimes the calendar populates right to there, but the best way to see our event calendar is to go to our Facebook page. Cause any events that we do, I manage the calendar. So I try to make sure we get them on there and get them on, usually with ample time. So that's just Bierstadt Lager House. Same thing. We're on Instagram as well. And I usually post a weekly calendar on both of those on like Sunday or Monday. I try to post whatever we have going on for the week. Mm-hmm. We do have a hashtag that we use. It's hashtag lager hard.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple other places making lagers throughout the country that have adopted it as well. But yeah, that's why you'll see it on a bunch of stuff that we have, or like it's like our Wi-Fi code and stuff like that. Like, people are like, what is this lager hard? It's like, that's us, man. We're lagering hard, man. We're doing it. You know, drink liters, take Ubers, you know.
Exactly. Get the whole experience from the Bierstadt Lager House.
Yeah. You don't want to, come get a pretzel, a liter, see how that hits you, and then get some wings later on or something, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe switch to whiskey. We got it all, you know.
That's great. Well,
we got some new cocktails that I just rolled out. I don't think we didn't have those last month. We had our winter cocktails still, so we got some good summertime cocktails just rolled out. Yeah, summer gin mule is killing it. There's also a strawberry pineapple daiquiri, which I know that sounds like it might just, you know, be for the ladies. It's not. I drink that thing all the time. It's amazing. Yeah. It's not like syrups. It's like almost all booze. It's pretty much, it's three rums and an Italian strawberry liquor and a little bit of lime juice. That's pretty much it.
Oh, wow.
It works.
sounds good. Sounds fantastic. It's definitely something to people are interested in to try.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, so then I'll see you tomorrow then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll be there as well as the rest of the Rocky Mountain crew, wrestlers, and, of course, the RMP faithful, our fans, will be there as well. So I implore all the listeners to come check out the show, too. And, two, let the people know, it is a free event, so you do not have to buy tickets. But what we do ask is please patronize Bierstadt with their fantastic drinks and food since you're there in lieu of having to buy a ticket. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to get thirsty from all that yelling anyway, you know, all the screaming. And oh, my God, the last month when that one girl, she came out dressed like Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, Lola.
She, like, DDT'd somebody. The whole place, oh, my God, the whole place went nuts. I bet you the people in the apartments across the street were like, what the hell is going on out there? But like 200 people just erupted into screams. It was just like, but hey, good for, you know, good for them. They live across the street. They get to watch free show from, right from their patios, you know?
Yeah, exactly. all right, so, Chuck. Yeah. Chuck, thank you, as always, for hosting us and, of course, for coming on to this podcast. And, of course, we will all see you and Beerstadt tomorrow.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure. Look forward to seeing you guys. Remember, show up early, though, if you want a good table, because those might get taken up by about, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock. I feel like all the tables are... And it's standing room only, which is still fun, but, you know,
so
there's a whole lot of that left. But, yeah, all right, well, sounds good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Once again, a big, huge thank you to the general manager there at Beerstadt Lagerhaus, Chuck Harris, for coming on to this edition of RMP Radio and letting all the listeners get to know a little bit more about Beerstadt Lagerhaus, its history, the fantastic food and drink that is available in there, as well as all the events that they have each and every month, including Rocky Mountain Pro, the first Friday of the month. That first Fridays is always a fun time. So hope to see you guys all there tomorrow night on the 3rd of June 2022 and having us great time and getting rowdy with us. All right, well, before we get out of here, let's pay some bills like they used to say back in the day. If you want to get some merchandise of your favorite Rocky Mountain Pro superstars, quite a few different ways to do that. You can always start at rmpwrestling.com, click on that merch link, or if you're in the Amazon search or the Amazon app, go to searching for Rocky Mountain Pro and you'll be presented with a few choices you got from there. Additionally, if you're at one of our live events, come visit the merch table. You can get those exclusive in-person only event items that are available right there to get. As for upcoming events, of course, we, like we said, we got Beerstadt Lagerhaus here on this upcoming Friday. But you want to see our schedule of upcoming events, head over to rmpwrestling.com, click on that events link. You'll see everything that we've got coming up, including, you know, each and every Tuesday night from the Wimmer Arena, we have our Ignition shows, you know, streaming on Twitch as well as live in person. If you want to come on down, we would greatly appreciate it. And then, of course, you can watch our charge events also there on twitch.tv/Rocky Mountain Pro. We would greatly appreciate it. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you do get a Twitch subscription automatically included, and we would appreciate if you would point that in our direction. Otherwise, if you are not or already have yours tied up, it's like a nominal fee, like $5.99 a month, and that's like, you know, basically just a few dollars each and every week, less than a dollar for each hour that you're actually watching. So we would greatly appreciate if you can do that. Of course, additionally, those events, you know, of course, we on the horizon, we're in the March to Milestone. So if you want to get your tickets for that, you know, head over to our events link on our website, or if please follow your favorite Rocky Mountain Pro superstars, your talent, your podcaster, your merch guy, whoever. We are putting out links. If you can, you know, get those links, purchase those tickets from there, every bit helps. So we would greatly appreciate that. Now, additionally, from event to event, if you want to continue to watch us, like I said, twitch.tv/Rocky Mountain Pro, also on the youtube.com/Rocky Mountain Pro, we greatly appreciate it. Once you're done with that episode, hit that like button, that thumbs up, and then give us a comment. Tell us what you thought about that episode. We would greatly appreciate it, what you think. You know, did you like a particular match, a particular moment, a particular backstage segment? Let us know what you'd like, and you know, you never know, your likes and your comments can steer the direction for Rocky Mountain Pro in the future. So please do that. Of course, additionally, you can also watch all of our shows on the Fight TV platform, whether it's on the Fight.tv through your computer or your mobile devices, your phone, your tablets, and you can even get it on your Roku, I believe. And then, as always, if you want to stay up to date with everything Rocky Mountain Pro, head over to our website, start there, rmpwrestling.com, and then on the social medias of the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, all of the username of the Rocky MTN Pro. Let me once again phonetically spell that for you just in case. That is the Rocky Mike Tango November Pro. Thank you as always for listening to this edition of RMP Radio, where pro wrestling is elevated.